included, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. Item number three is a text amendment for Winnipeg Zoning Bylaw 100, for Downtown Zoning Bylaw 100 of 2004, Communication Facility Protocol and Related Bylaw Amendments under file DAZ 200 of 2010. Mr. Chairman, we do have people registered. The city is the applicant.
City is the applicant. Who's going to make the presentation?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Just for information, the Public Service brought a similar recommendation to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development to address the changes to the Winnipeg zoning bylaw. And Valdine Buckley will be presenting today to make a similar request for the downtown zoning bylaw changes.
Well, I have some questions that came up when I really just looked at this sort of over the weekend. I should have told. So I do have a number of questions, and maybe I could just ask those, and then we can see if it fits with what we presented. I mean, I don't know if I, this is one of those things that looks fairly technical, so I don't know if I need to really understand, like, if you plug it in and the electricity comes out. That's all I need to know. But I'm more concerned about a few other things. Now, it says, and I haven't read it thoroughly, so I'm sure you can clarify this, but it says it's asking for it to be a permitted use everywhere. I'm assuming that's the same. Is that the same in the other? So everywhere in the city, but yet my question then is, how do you accommodate concerns of proximity to residential areas and that then if it's permitted everywhere? I mean, is that, and I understand that that means that there doesn't have to be a public hearing by the city, but that there's some other public process that's going to occur, but the city's not going to have the same kind of say in that or involvement in that, I guess. So can you speak a little bit to all of that?
Applications, if they've identified a site, whether close to residential or not, they bring an application forward to the Planning, Property, and Development Department, where they have consultations with the local or the area planner. They will then identify issues or concerns. They'll also bring in the ward counselor at that point and, again, address those issues. The industry under the proposed protocol would then submit notification to the surrounding neighbors, and that's three times the height of the tower. So it's a 100-foot tower. They would send a notice 300 feet in radius of that location. They would hold an open house and discuss all the issues. At the end of the day, the director of the department will send a letter to Industry Canada providing concurrence or non-concurrence with the request. The ultimate decision lies with the federal government, Industry Canada.
So now does the ultimate decision lie with federal Industry Canada too? So that's not a change. It's just that the city isn't holding the public hearing and the telecommunications company or
the carrier
is holding. So I guess
just for clarification, the change is that in areas where it's not permitted now, we are making it a permit. We used to have a public hearing for structures greater than so many feet. Not for communications towers, but
yeah, I understand. Like, I hear what he's saying. I realize he's saying that's the issue, is that we, that's one of the things I wanted to understand clearly before we make a change like this, because, and 300 feet isn't very far. I mean, one property is, can be 100 feet. Like, I mean, that could be like two or three houses over. That just seems pretty mild. What is it now? I mean, how? I guess we notified. Do they put a sign up like we do, or is it just notifying those people immediately adjacent? Because right now, anybody could go by who lives, you know, within a larger radius and see a sign in, on our public hearing process.
300 feet would be approximately a block in some cases. And the notification would be by the proponent to all property owners and tenants. And we can even go beyond that in terms of the notification that we require of the proponent to those people within that area.
But what we're passing right now says 300 feet, though.
Yeah.
So they don't have to do more than 300 feet.
Three times the height. It's not
three times the height. It could be less
could
or
be
more,
less.
I guess, theoretically.
Correct.
But
yes,
it's probably going to be 300 feet or less. I guess
in areas where there's a high density of development in the area, we would request that they go beyond the minimum requirements in the protocol.
Huh? Is that written down anywhere? Or?
It's the discussion with the area planner and the ward counselor. So if the ward counselor believes that others should be notified because it has high density, ward counselor will recommend that it be a 1,000-foot radius or whatever that they believe is an appropriate notification area.
Okay, but do they put up a as well as notifying, I guess I assume by mail or something?
By mail.
Do they put up a sign that anybody who goes by can look at, like we do in our current public hearing process?
I don't believe
is that part of it?
Required.
Yeah, because it seems like we're essentially reducing the public, like we're taking away from people's ability to know about it. You know, I know, you know, it's one thing, like the council might have a pulse on things, but if people don't know, a lot of times we know there's an issue because people see the sign and they come and they say there's an issue. So how are we even going to know there's an issue if no one knows about it or not enough people know about it? So
one could argue that, Councillor. I guess there's the debate about whether or not direct correspondence is a better way to get information across. We've heard for years, Councillor, that a poster sitting on a site, somebody even though lives in the next street says, I never drive down that street, I never see a poster. Here, it's being mailed directly to
every
tenant.
Well, I support mailing it directly, but we do that, yeah, and that, I suppose that's better for those immediate people, but I still don't understand why we couldn't require that, you know. Well, couldn't we put it in our protocol that we would like them to do it if we can ask them to expand this and that, because we've talked to the councillor, can't we put in the protocol, amend it to say that they have to put up a sign?
Well, I think we would then have to suspend and continue on. There is a provision, thanks Deanne, where the city, we may require a 4x8 large format sign, like we do for rezonings, when the ward councillor and the area planner believes it's necessary in that case. So each one would be negotiated. So clearly the public consultation section of the protocol, it's quite flexible. The industry members don't want to shirk their responsibility. They do want to inform those who could be affected, and they'll work with us to do so.
Okay, so you're saying that this is something that could happen, that an area councilor, like if something comes up in my ward and I say, you know what, I'd like a 1,000-foot radius and I'd like a big sign put up, that would be something that would be able to happen? You know?
We would be able to negotiate with them, yes.
You'd negotiate with them, but yeah, they don't have to do that? If
they
we encourage
have to
them
do
to?
Public consultation. They believe that it's in their best interest to follow the recommendation of a ward counselor. They ultimately need our letter of concurrence from the department to go to Industry Canada. If they're not prepared to work with us, it would be difficult to get that supporting letter.
Okay, fair enough. I just have a couple more things. I noticed that the process of consultation on this, and maybe it's because it's such a specialized area that it makes sense, but if you look at who was consulted, it was the industry, period, right? And I don't know how you would consult the public about it. I don't know how else you'd do that. But I'm a little concerned, you know, about, like, right now it's not permitted in certain places. Can you explain why it's okay that it's now permitted everywhere? I mean, obviously there are concerns from residential areas. So how is it okay that it's permitted everywhere?
I guess the challenge is that was brought forward is that the city of Winnipeg or municipalities do not have the authority to overrule a senior level of government. The federal government, Industry Canada, is the final say. So we have really no authority to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. So recognizing this, when our bylaws were adopted, committee and council requested that we meet with industry to find a reasonable and acceptable solution. We've negotiated and worked with them for approximately 2 years, recognizing the legal responsibilities, the legal challenges, and what our expectations are for our city. We believe keeping this in the zoning bylaw keeps it open and transparent. Having a protocol in place, the community can also see that in the zoning bylaw and understand the responsibilities of the city and the communication industry. So we believe that this is the best that we can do legally. Virtually all major cities are leaning towards this protocol. And we are basically coming on board with other major cities across Canada to implement this standard?
I noticed in the part of it that I got through reading that some places added, like the process we have almost as an additional safeguard with still leaving it some restrictions in, or still leaving the city in control of the public hearing process. Or did I not read something like that? Like that you could augment what we've got rather than, or is that what we're doing? Are we augmenting our, no. Like, I'm just trying to understand the different options we would have had here.
The ultimate authority lies with the federal government. So to hold a City of Winnipeg public hearing under our charter, your decision, and I don't mean to be flippant, doesn't hold the weight. So you could, as a committee, deny it, but Industry Canada approve it. That's a very difficult position to be put in. I think what we want is a consultative process, and we want to provide the best information we can to Industry Canada on the concerns brought forward by council, by the department, and by residents. Those would be forwarded to Industry Canada for a final decision.
I thought you just said that they can't go to Industry Canada unless they have our support. Is that only under the new thing?
So no, they must work with the municipality, and this is the
under
process.
Under the new thing, yeah, but under the old system, you're saying that...
There's a timeline, too. You have to give support or reject, and then...
Either way, you're saying, either before or after. So you're saying that this... I'm just trying to be sure I understand the advantage of it, especially that we're allowing it to be permitted everywhere.
I guess what's important to understand is that although we used to have these rules and regulations under our previous zoning bylaws, one would argue that we had no authority to do that. And so there have been legal challenges in the past, recognizing the decisions that have been made. It was in the City of Winnipeg's best interest to work with industry to come up with something that everyone could support.
I'm still kind of worried about permitting it everywhere in terms of, you know, I mean, the downtown area, for example, there's only a couple residential areas. Like, you can imagine putting it right in the heart of the Assiniboine neighborhood or something. I guess that's when we'd have this big public process, and if there was an issue.
I think industry is also trying in every case to put them on top of buildings because they less effect and has better opportunity for coverage. I believe we have a representative here from MTS. If you want, you can certainly speak to some of the technical issues. They're not looking at putting towers on single-family lots. Ideally, there are other opportunities around, and they
or
would
parks.
Do that first.
Yes,
there are opportunities for parks as well, where they're not impacting, that they can disguise them or camouflage them within, forested areas. So there are those opportunities.
All right, I'm almost done. The revenue issue, it says that we will lose some revenue for conditional uses and variances and stuff that they won't be applying for, but it'll be offset by new fees for establishing the towers. So it's going to be some sort of new fee schedule set up, and we're going to see, I mean, I guess it made me think, are we going to see a large number of these proliferating that we can make enough money? You know, I don't know anything about the fees. I'm just not sure what that means.
Conditional use and variance applications, we shouldn't be as a city relying on that. If there's compliance with the bylaw, we'd make no money off of variance or conditional use applications.
Yeah.
So we're asking for an amendment to the fee bylaw. We're going to develop a fee structure that's appropriate for the time and spent by the public service on reviewing these applications. And those fees, depending on the number of applications, would perhaps offset the fees that we've been collecting in the past.
So it's not, are you expecting to see a big change in what we're going to see because of this, or is
we
or
issue,
not? That's really what I was asking.
I think the history is, on average, we do about 5 applications a year.
And you don't expect to see a significant change in that?
I wouldn't expect.
Okay, that was my question, really. Okay, that was my question.
No, good, thanks.
I'm going to, there's some people here in support.
Towers like this.
I don't mind if the committee wishes some information or just can answer some questions. I can do the work.
No, I think I'm good. I really had questions of our own staff, so thank you.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'll, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move on here. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
I'll move receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to Executive Policy Committee and Council.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.
That the hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Supporting reasons or concurrence with the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service.
Yep. And the public hearing be concluded. All those in favor, contrary, carried.